It's very funny because Chris Plant is recording in our New York City offices right now, and every time he needs to make a change, he has to run across the room like it's a double dare challenge.
Well, don't listen. That's part of the sort of, you know, rock star, punk rock, revolutionary sort of indie startup lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how y'all record too, right? You have a giant papier-mâché nose with the recording system inside of it, and you have to pull out boogers to get it to start recording, right?
Right. My audio interface is in a big sloppy pizza, and I do need to dig around in there, and then I do get, if I say, you know, if I cuss too much, then Rosie O'Donnell does shoot a koosh ball at me, and it hurts a lot. A lot of people don't talk about that. Those have a lot of ballistic force. And she's a very strong person.
Justin, what is your setup like?
Actually, I have a cone, and it is above me, and the sound comes down like that, and then I talk up into the cone. I don't know how it gets recorded. I don't know how it's been distributed all these years. I've never consented to the cone, but the cone has just always been in whatever house that I live in. Cone is there,
and a lot of times you do hear voices in the cone at night.
The voices in the cone, absolutely. Yeah. The cone follows me to bed. It's like Olaf's flurry, you know. Mm. It's always kind of floating over my head. That's why I'm always podcasting. I can't stop podcasting because of the cone.
What wild and crazy kids!
So anyway, I wanted to tell you guys about my will. I'd love to stop recording this, but here's my social security number. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the farm.
Howdy, partner!
I'm Griffin McElroy, and I'm the farm man.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Thomas Plant, and I dig it!
My name is Russ Brushick, and I know the best game of the week, probably because it's March, and there's all sorts of great games for us to pick.
There's going to be in like 6 days. We're so close to Good Game Town.
The drought. We've seen the weather reports. There is a game storm a-coming. Right now, though, we're still sitting on our rockers.
Oh, this old knee of mine is flaring. What's that old knee? It says, oh, Neo 2. Oh, old knee. I didn't know.
Knees love Neo 2. Knees will only let you know when a Neo game is coming.
What are we doing today, Justin?
Oh, God, dude.
What is this show about?
Hopefully at some point Justin will intro the show.
Please, be quiet. I'm going to do this now. This is the Besties. It's usually a show about video games that are new, relevant, and good. Today is about Rune Factory 4 Special Switch Edition. You may remember it as fucking Jimmy Carter's favorite video game. He used to talk about it all the time while he was peanut farming. He said it most closely resembled his farming experiences. I have no idea why we're talking about this old, old game. The very first second of the intro screen of this game, the very first animatic, this is what I literally said out loud. Fucking come on. That was exactly my reaction to the way this game began. I can't fathom it. I'm kind of into it, but it put up, I think Russ, you said it, and I think it was very fair. This game could not have put up more warning signs. That's like, Justin, do not enter. This is not for you.
We've sort of positioned this episode to be, I think out of concern that all four people on this podcast would not be able to generate a meaningful 20-minute discussion about Rune Factory 4 Special, that we would sort of talk about its place in the pantheon of farming games. And honestly, like, I think this game is in sort of a unique place where, for myself and I think a lot of people who are into this genre, this is a little aperitif, a little snack until the big boy shows up on March 20th and gets it done. Like, I think this scratches a lot of the same sort of life sim itches as Animal Crossing. I think if this came out on, say, even March 21st, literally nobody would be talking about it. But this game has a pretty, like, cult following when it came out on 3DS back in 2013 in the States. And I think that's why it's worth discussing. I think that's why people are talking about it now.
Do you think they had to rush to get it up like they were racing Animal Crossing and that's why they hired a baby to do all the graphics?
That's mean to say, so let's let's maybe curtail that a little bit. I think that, well, the graphics look great on 3DS and there really has not been much done to sort of like juice that up. On a
Switch's
large
screen is a lot bigger.
It's a lot bigger. It's a lot harder to hide some of the sins of the game. Yeah, I think that, I don't know if it was rushed or not. I know that the Rune Factory 5 is in development, so this was announced alongside that during a Nintendo Direct last year, maybe even during the E3 Nintendo Direct last year, I want to say. And the Rune Factory 5, I don't think had, like, the announcement had a release date, and so they're like, hey, but this game that you do know and some of you really like is coming out on Switch next year, so you got that.
I just want to say really quick, just because I do want to establish what this game is, somebody who, big into Harvest Moon, new to Rune Factory. I was surprised to learn it is not just a farming simulation.
Well, no.
It is a everything simulation.
It does it all. Does it all, baby.
It does it all. You are a prince who is on a flying ship. You are attacked by air pirates. You fall from the ship. Before you even fall, you get amnesia from just getting punched. You don't longer remember anything. You meet a dragon, and I'm going to just get going real fast. You meet a dragon who thinks you're a prince, but you're not the prince, but you're going to be the prince to fake everybody out. Because you're the prince, you're going to farm, but you're also going to go into mysterious forest to kill things. Also, since you are the prince but not the prince, you have a list of jobs from a giant talking mailbox. That's like the first 5 minutes.
It's also kind of a flirty ghost. The mailbox, yeah, it does a lot.
Everybody is horny.
Everyone's horny as hell. Anytime you meet a character who you can sort of romance, you get like this, this cutscene, like this anime cutscene of them just like showing you their whole bodies. And it shows them like sighing or like dripping with sweat or something like that. It's like the Witcher. It's like the Witcher sex cards, but for, you know, anime. Characters. Rune Factory was, cut from the same cloth as Harvest Moon, but was literally like, that was the whole conceit. It's Harvest Moon with all the farming and stuff like that, but it's also like, you know, an action RPG. It is also a dungeon crawler, so you're doing all the farming shit of raising crops and, you know, cleaning up your farm, upgrading your tools, all that stuff that you can do in Harvest Moon is all there. But also you can craft weapons and armor and accessories and upgrade those and go out into dungeons and farm for materials from monsters and like et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So like the idea of, yeah, it's Harvest Moon, but it's also everything is kind of the core conceit of the game. And it sounds like I know kind of where you all landed on how they succeed with the equation.
I liked it. Oh,
wow.
Whoa.
Good.
Yeah. That's a twist.
Can I twist on y'all too?
Yeah.
I kind of dug it too.
Yeah.
I actively like, despite multiple attempts, do not like, what's the other?
Stardew?
Stardew I don't like. But I actually like kind of enjoyed this, and I would like your all's help to help me figure out what you think the difference is that cracked it for me. Let me hit you because you have a more concrete answer. Let me hit you with my like ephemeral. Okay. there's a lot of stuff in Stardew that is kind of inscrutable or obtuse. And there's also things happening in Stardew that make you feel like you're missing out. Like the world is passing you by and you're running out of time and running out of energy constantly. And you also don't, there's like a lot of things that you don't understand and it doesn't explain them super great. And so there's this constant feeling of like, I'm missing stuff or I'm failing or I'm not doing something I should be doing. And Rune Factory to me just feels a lot more streamlined. Like I don't regularly run out of energy in a given day. I just kind of like, feel like I've gotten all I needed to and go ahead and hit the hay. Like it's a lot less pressure. The recipes are like gradually handed to you. You know what to do with your stuff. I don't constantly worry that I should have been saving this dumb thing because it could build this other dumb thing. Like, I don't know. I really, and also walking around the world is much less of a chore than it feels like in Stardew. That is my theory.
I move faster.
Yeah. I have a theory about why I like it, but specifically why Justin likes it. I say this as somebody who I think I am an expert in Justinology. there are meters for everything you do in this game, and yeah. they grow up.
Daddy like a meter.
Mm. And you're like pulling a weed, and it's like, upgrade, upgrade.
Like, you can be running, screen. You're constantly running around the village. It's like, skill improved. Like, of what?
Running. the walking skill. There's literally, the two best are, because I had to check the like page that shows you all your stats. One time I just like, got out of bed in the morning after sleeping, and it was like, skill up. And I was like, what the fuck? Did I have a dream about like using a battle axe? And I checked, and there's a sleeping skill. And then it happened later. I was taking a bath to like increase my energy, and it's skill up. And I was like, no fucking way. And I checked the screen. It was like, bathing skill up. I was like, I have a bathing skill? That's so dope. Yeah, literally everything has a skill associated.
And what does that even do? What does your better bathing skill do?
Well, all the different skills have sort of like different benefits for upgrading them. I don't know what the bathing skill necessarily
better
does.
Better lotions, different scents of lotions.
Softer skins. But for things like, farming activities, mining, it makes you more efficient, so you use less energy doing them. It allows you to craft better, tools in whatever like field that you are upgrading. It makes it more efficient to craft stuff. Like if you try to craft an axe that you know the recipe for, but it's like above your skill level, it may take all your energy for the same for that day. But if you are at or above that skill level, it's like nothing, and then you can start farming those out and then selling them for huge profits. Like I think what aids in the point that Justin got to is like in Stardew Valley there is a progression ladder. Mm-hmm. That once you learn it, and I think even once you like learn the formula of like what a season looks like in that game, sure, that's really all you need to know. And then like that can carry you over. Like I could start a Stardew Valley playthrough right now and not need to consult a guide to know like what that ladder looks like, how to, get my automatic sprinklers by the end of spring, right? Like that stuff is stuff I have in mind. But like Justin said, it's not explicitly clear in how you do it, and there's not like a ton of ways to necessarily build that ladder. In Rune Factory, fuck, man. Like,
so many ladders.
Day one, I'm not even going to farm. I'm just going to go fish, and then I'm going to go sell the fish and upgrade my fishing skill, buy a knife from Porcaline, and then I'm going to start making sashimi, and I'm going to sell that sashimi and invest that in buying materials from the materials. Like, it's, and like, extrapolate that out. It is more MMO-like. That's a tricky comparison because, like, it doesn't have the sort of online structure of a game like that, but it does have that, like, do whatever the fuck and you will level up and get resources and grow and get prince points to like unlock new festivals. And like it is vicious how much like progression there is in the game, and a lot of it works really, really well.
So I wanted to share my experience in playing this because we've all sort of shared, and don't worry, Griffin, I am not going to just like drop a big steamy deuce on this game. Here was my experience just from the beginning. So I start playing, as Plant mentioned, there was the airship. Something I noticed on the airship, which I really appreciated, that carried through the whole experience of me playing, is that you can skip dialogue really fast this game.
Yeah.
Like really fast. You could just slam that A button and dialogue just flies by, which great feature. So I fall from the airship, amnesia, there's a dragon, text is flying by. I don't know what he's saying, but it's flying by. I just want to get to the farming. I get to the farming. There are sticks on the ground that are made of, I didn't think this was possible, 3 pixels each. Every stick was the lowest res stick I have ever seen in my entire life. It was like I had the worst vision in the world. It was like they pulled graphics from just like random Flash games they found online and jammed them into the Switch. This is a game about farming. You couldn't have given a little bit of a glow
you
up.
You really don't like these sticks.
I mean, it looks like the farming art looks like dog shit. Okay, but that's fine. I'm like, okay, I'm like using my hoe to plant like various turnips and stuff like that, and I'm watering them and things are going well. And they send me to the forest, and then my phone buzzes. And I look at my phone and I have an email, and it's the review code for Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
It literally happened 2 hours into me playing.
Yeah.
I got this email.
You're like,
I can't
close,
talk about the game.
Delete.
I'm under embargo, but I was like, Nope. And that was the last I ever saw.
Oh, good. Well, factory. Russ, I'm glad you gave it.
Good dedication,
glad,
bud.
Yeah, good dedication to the craft, and I'm glad that you are honest about what a fucking delinquent you are. That is that is good.
Griffin,
I'm glad you gave it a fair
serious
shake.
Question, Griffin.
Would I have done the same in your situation? Yes, fucking exactly. Yes, of course I would.
In a million times, a million out of a million times, that is what would have happened for Griffin.
It is an intrinsically sort of different thing than Animal Crossing is like, and there's a lot of sort of like game design ethos shit to get into there. Where like Animal Crossing doesn't have fail states in general. It doesn't have it does not have confrontation necessarily, and so like they are different games in that regard. But I think Rune Factory and Stardew and Harvest Moon and the whatever Story of Seasons, which I have not enjoyed literally any of those, and I've tried really hard, all sort of occupy this space of just, you know, chill ass, just life sim games. That
see, I feel that about Rune Factory. I don't feel that about Stardew. I feel like Stardew has an intrinsic pressure. Like, I felt like I was playing Stardew and constantly failing. Or, which I hate, having, like, my laptop open over here so I could constantly be Googling, like, best case, you know, strats for what to do with this thing and how to do this and how to get ahead. Like, and that is not chill to me. At all. Rune Factory, I really did feel the freedom of, I don't really want to mess around with going to the dungeon today. I think we're just going to farm. Or, like, I'm going to bake today and really focus on that and, like, just do it and, like, not get... And somebody's birthday, I don't feel compelled to, like, get on the wiki and see what their favorite thing is. I'll just see whatever whack garbage I have. Oh, turnips. I hope they like turnips. I got 9 of these babies. Just chuck a turnip at them. Here you go. Happy B-Day. It's a turnip.
Yeah.
And like stuff like that, even small quality of life stuff, like your calendar for that, you can put it anywhere you want to. Put it in your room. That's better. Because then I wake up and I can look at my calendar. I don't have to go into town to see when Doug's birthday is. Also, there's a Doug in this game.
Doug, and Doug, by the way, becomes, and I'm not going to spoil this story, but there for a certain chunk of it, it looks like, and this is not a joke, it looks like Doug's kind of going to be the Sephiroth of the story. Like, Doug is established as a sort of violent rival at one point. It's like, your name's fucking Doug. Stop it. You're Doug.
There's a lot of, there is some, like, good old-fashioned craft around the edges of this baby. Item selection is very annoying. Like, trying to farm when you have to get into your pocket and get out your, like, the first thing you do when you come in is there's rocks. Okay, well, I gotta take out my hammer and walk around and smash each individual rock and then take those pieces back to the thing. And then I have to get out my scythe to cut the weeds. And then I have to get my axe to cut the stumps that have somehow grown in my farm. Stumps don't grow, guys. That doesn't make sense. And there's a boss fight very early on that's just like brutally difficult out of nowhere. And I was like, I'm going to go back to farming. I don't actually need to fight this horse right now. This is not fun.
It all does like sort of feed into other stuff though. Like another thing about the skills is you upgrade them. It increases your maximum energy, right? And so I would have that too. Like I would hit boss fight, which like it's kind of surprising that they are able to pull off sort of difficulty curves that kind of are functional and work, because I would hit a boss fight, get wrecked, go back to my farm and just be like, well, I'm just going to spend a little while just lining my coffers, investing in forging and upgrading my forging skill, and maybe I'll like get some new stuff. And even if I wasn't like building a new sword to like kill this magic horse with, I would go back in there and, you know, now I have more energy to cast more spells. Like there's so much shit in this game.
I genuinely could have continued playing it while Animal Crossing was downloading, but in my head I was like, it might download faster if I'm not playing.
Oh, Russ, you absolute Russ, piece of human garbage.
Plant, you were about to say something actually productive, Plant, I believe.
I was going to say, I like a lot about the game, but I was disappointed by, there were just random moments that, don't feel like stuff I feel like I need to deal with in video games in 2020 at this point. Including the very first thing you do is they give you a prompt like, are you ready for adventure? Or you're like, ooh, no thanks, adventure. And if you choose, I am ready for adventure, it's like, congratulations, you are a boy. You will play as a boy.
That's wild.
It is the worst.
And it's like if you say, like, no thanks, it's like, congratulations, you are a woman. You will not be like,
you know what it is? It's you're in an airship and yeah. the dialogue is like, I'm flying high, baby. Or, oh my, we're so high up. I'm scared. It's like, okay, that's a woman. That's a woman. I didn't recognize that anywhere.
I mean, that was not great. Obviously, anytime it came out, it was not great in 2013 when the game came out. It ain't great in 2020 when it came out. Yeah. There is a certain sort of, I would say, retro grade, like not great sort of idea behind a lot of the like life sim stuff. Like if you're simulating life, like that's a thing that, you know, if you're going to do it right, takes a bit more nuance. Nuance may be more afforded to the concept by a Sims, for example. That Room Factory 4 is not going to get you there. I am blown away that this is how this conversation is going, by the way. I thought for sure it was going to be me just like with my back to the wall with a, you know, guns akimbo, like, come on, motherfuckers. But I am surprised that you guys enjoyed it even a little bit.
Yeah, we're all going to play it until Animal Crossing comes out, right? Like that's.
Well, I mean, after I press the stop button on this recording, I'll never load it again. But like right. the time that I was forced to spend with it was much more palatable than I thought it would be. Also, Griffin mentioned Porcoline. Do want to give a quick shout out to one of the best characters in any video game. He has every time he sees you, he has to say he has some different variation of like, hyper hello or super high or
yeah
fantastic greetings.
The way you get recipes for cooking, forging, crafting, medicine, like whatever, is you buy recipe bread from Porcoline and he'll like be like, oh, I can make three of these today. And it's like, Porcoline, I just fucking killed a magic horse and then planted a whole field of turnips, so like you can cook more bread, I feel like. And he'll cook you this bread more. And he'll be like, oh, you want to know how to make swords better? I got a bread for that. And he'll cook it. And sometimes he'll be like, here's your swords bread. Eat it and you'll learn how to make a new sword. And sometimes he'll be like, I cooked this one so fucking good. You're going to get a lot of new swords out of this one. It's like, what is this? What's your process, Porcoline? Are you sometimes just like, oh, I'm not fucking feeling this one. Oh, man, I didn't let it prove long enough. He's only going to get one new sword recipe out of this bread I'm cooking. It's crazy for this one.
That's Room Factory 4 Switch Special. By the way, the main menu on this one could not, almost made me delete it. There's a newlywed mode? What in the fuck could that be?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I mean, I think it's like side stories based on like what romantic partners you have unlocked in the main game. I don't know. I did not dig into it. I did get very far in this game, which more speaks to my insatiable hunger for Animal Crossing. Russ can attest I have threatened him, what, physically, verbally, emotionally.
It's been pretty rough.
Yeah, but, you know, you came on this show and did dump all over it talking about how you do have this dope game, so I think you deserve it.
Yep, fair.
Great. Let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Terrified of this segment. Very afraid of it. Very afraid to see what it's going to be.
So welcome, everybody, to the second part of the Besties this week. Given the fact that we've all played quite a number of farming simulators over the years, I thought it might be worthy that we have a challenge to test whether any of this stuff is actually transferred into real-world knowledge.
Oh, boy. Yes.
So I'm going to task the remaining three members of the Besties with milking a cow. Now, today, our resource for how to milk a cow comes from WikiHow, which I'd appreciate you not Google at the moment, because it's going to be very relevant to our discussion. But you all three of you, find yourself in a barn.
Are you going
to
zork a fucking cow milking extravaganza?
Yeah.
You find yourself in a barn, and there's a cow.
Yeah.
I'm only going to do this if the cow's name is Russ Frushtick.
You can name the cow whatever you like.
The cow's name
like.
Is Russ. All three of our cows are named Russ Frushtick. Is it one cow, or do
we
each
get a
cow?
No, it's one cow.
One cow. One cow with three udders.
You can discuss how best to sort of handle the situation. So your end goal is a bucket
of milk. I don't want to interrupt. Have we fully decided on the name? Because if we haven't, I would prefer to call it Russ Breakfast, a true English translation of his name.
Okay. We call it
Russ Breakfast.
Russell Breakfast.
The cow. Okay, Russell so Breakfast the cow.
Got it. You've named the cow. Congratulations. Your end goal is to get milk into a bucket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you go about doing that? What's okay, step
can
one?
Can I start? Can I? Oh, yeah. Let me just take the lead here.
Go
get
for
a
it.
Get a bucket.
Great. Good, good start. Griffin?
Nice try.
Put the bucket under cow's milk okay. zone.
The cow has kicked your head and you're dead. Next.
Okay. Okay. Am I okay. out?
So,
no, you can come back to Russ, life. It's fine.
Chris, give me Chris, use your turn to give me medicine. Chris, use your turn to give me medicine.
He's thinking about it.
This is tough.
I'm dying on fucking floor next to you, Chris. Give me medicine.
But I do want that milk, and that is, like, you're not, like, healing you is not a huge part of my goal, right? Like, what would you do?
I would heal my friend Chris Plant, who's dying on the floor.
Okay. Okay, I think I kind of like Weekend at Bernie's style, lift Griffin, his body, which I don't know if it's dead or alive at this point.
No, he's rolling for save.
You
so
should not.
He's still alive,
I lift
but not
his
great.
Body and I use his hand to calm the cow. Because everybody knows that step one. You calm the cow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's very good, Chris Plant. The cow is now calmed.
Okay.
Good.
You really shouldn't move. If somebody sustains a head injury, you really shouldn't move.
Got
them.
It. Got it. Got okay. it. Well, sorry, we already did.
Justin?
I'm going to rub my hands together to get them nice and warm. Because okay. I feel like a cold hand would be not great for the cow.
Okay, so Justin rubs his hands together. Griffin, how are you doing?
I'm going to roll a d20.
Okay.
I got a 5. I think I barf on the ground. I don't think
yeah,
I'm doing
no,
very
you're,
good.
You are not doing
I'm,
hot.
Hey, guys, I'm dizzy.
There's a little bit of blood running from your mouth.
Guys, I'm dizzy and I smell smoke. It smells like burnt popcorn. Help.
Okay. Griffin reminds me I'm really jonesing for popcorn. So I go to get a Jiffy Pop.
You.
Okay.
You're bad at that.
Plan is out for the next 2 turns because he's going to get popcorn. Justin?
I gingerly kneel down next to Russell Breakfast and I take his two of his udders. Cup.
Okay, Russell Breakfast has kicked you as well.
No, he's calm already. You said
no,
he's calm.
He is calm, but you've missed a crucial step in the process.
Okay, so to confirm.
So he's now, kicked you. You're not incapacitated. Okay. You're just injured. You can't use your left arm.
Okay.
Okay. I don't
no,
think...
Griffin, roll.
Roll to pick yourself up.
That's an 18.
Ooh, okay, you are picked up and feeling a little bit better.
Okay, I look at Justin on the ground and I say, I don't think boy cows make milk. I'm pretty sure this isn't going to happen for us.
I'm still out, so it's Justin's turn.
I've missed a crucial step. I mean, have we determined that this is a milkable cow?
I can confirm that Russ Breakfast is milkable, yes.
Okay. Milkable cow, okay. But I've missed a
it
step.
It might be his
here.
Prostate,
oh, wait
but
a
he
minute.
Is milkable.
I rub antibiotic gel on my hands.
Ooh, good move.
I think
okay.
I remember seeing that on a thing one time.
Okay, on I like that. Good work.
Reading Rainbow, maybe.
WikiHow says, clean the teats with soapy water and iodine, so I'll count that as you're disinfecting your hands.
Okay.
So that's good.
Okay.
Griffin, you're now up. You can act.
Okay. I sing a sweet song to the cow.
Okay.
A milking song.
How does the milking song go?
A sort of traditional milking folk song.
How does
from,
that go? How
from
does
my
that go?
People.
How does that go?
I'm gonna milk you. I'm gonna
no.
milk you.
No,
that's not very that's gentle.
You're getting Jiffy Pop.
You're getting Jiffy
you're
Pop. Get out of
coming
my
back
fucking
from popcorn.
Space. I sing, sweet child, give us the cream, have a sweet dream as we take away cream. You don't need the cream, you have too much cream, let us get it out and sleep tonight. So, and okay. did that work?
Yeah, Russ Breakfast is still standing, but his eyes are slowly closed like he's falling asleep. Wait.
Now get him!
She... Because it is a milkable cow, okay. I already confirmed.
Yes.
Chris Plant has returned from popcorn.
Really quick.
Yeah, it's Plant. Go, you're back from popcorn.
I think this can help. I feed the sleepy cow some popcorn.
Oh.
Because they have to have the food to make the milk.
Okay. The cow is now awake and is confused.
Okay, got it.
Okay, I'm gonna tell the cow to sit down.
Okay, the cow does not understand English.
Okay.
Griffin?
But did it understand my song? That's important.
The spirit of your song, not the actual words.
There's something we're missing.
Oh, no. I think
you can discuss among yourselves what
so
you
I think there are a few things here that we need to do.
Okay. Right?
We need to make sure the bucket is under the udders. We need to make sure, I think, is there like a way that we restrain the cow? Maybe like put the cow into some sort of milk harness.
Oh, or I'll just hold it really tight. I'm going to hold the cow. I'm going to hold on to the cow really fucking tight in a way that it knows it's not going anywhere, but it doesn't feel trapped or scared because I kind of got my head up on its like head. I'm just like still singing a sweet song, and I'm just holding it so fucking tight and strong. So it's this cow's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I should say WikiHow recommends that you secure the cow
before
milking.
Yep, did
so
that.
Generally they recommend like tying it to like a gate, but in this case we'll count Griffin.
Tied it to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it.
I put on an entire camouflage outfit, including full camo face paint, like solid snake.
Cool.
I lay down, I shimmy underneath the cow, undetected. And then very, very quickly, I reach up, grab the udders, and like, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, like try to get as much out as
fast
as possible.
Yeah, if we do that like a few dozen times, we're going to get a bucket full for sure.
That's no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. So the cow has now flattened like a pancake on top of Chris Plant, who is now suffocating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
A little bit of milk is dribbling out both sides of the cow.
Hey, all right. Hey, that ain't nothing.
Which is good, but it is on the ground. It's not in a bucket, so you really haven't accomplished your end goal yet.
Is the popcorn okay?
Chris Plant is dying, I should mention. He needs to roll saving throws.
Griffin, can you roll for me?
Yeah. So
wait, you don't have 4 to 5 d20 within reach of you at all times?
I got a 6, Chris. So that's one failure. Sack. That's not great. Okay. Justin, this is going pretty bad. Is there any other way? Let me just sort of ask this question. And
wait, what did Plant try?
He tried.
I zoned out.
He put on a ghillie suit and tried to solid snake the milk out. I guess the question is like, are the udders the only sort of vector through which milk can be obtained from cow?
This is a good
question.
I am
really interested in where you're going with this.
I don't have a plan. There's no intent behind that. I'm just asking a sort of physiological question.
Wait. Are you suggesting that we could pop the cow?
I don't think that that's where my head was necessarily at, Chris, but I love where you're going.
I pull Chris out from underneath the cow.
Thank you.
Okay. Good work. Chris is still dying, but that's fine. Griffin?
Is the cow standing back up now?
It's like half standing.
I'm not going to spend my turn making a cow stand up.
No, it's on its way up, so you can make a move while it's starting to stand up.
Do we need to be wearing some sort of workman's gloves of some kind? I put on some nice farming milking gloves with good.
If this was Zork, you would get +10 points for putting on gloves.
Okay. Is that my action, putting on gloves?
That's a half action.
Okay.
Do another half action.
Now that the udders have been smashed to the ground, I want to spend my turn cleaning them up again, because now they're dirty again, aren't they?
Yes, great idea, Griffin. +5 in Zork.
All right, no more bullshit. No more popcorn. No more goofy jazz. Let's get serious about milking this fucking space cow.
Yeah, I have it. It's the obvious thing that all of us have seen what a milking cow looks like. We pull up a stool. None of us were sitting on stools.
Good, love it. Okay, who's pulling up the stool, or is it all three of you?
I pull up three stools for all three of us.
I put gloves on all three of us too.
Terrific. Okay, so everyone's wearing gloves. You're sitting on three stools in front of where? The udders?
No, to the side of the cow.
To which side?
Facing.
Oh, shit. How could this possibly matter?
Because my dominant hand, I'm going to face the, I'm facing the udders. Like, what do you mean whether side?
Which side of the cow?
The starboard.
WikiHow seems to think that it matters, so I don't know which one starboard is.
Okay, the left side of the cow.
I'm on the right side.
-5 points.
No, my left.
Oh, your left. Okay, so the right side of the cow. Great. Okay, terrific.
Right, so I'm on the right side of the cow. I cup its udder, and I start squeezing for milk.
Wait, hold on one second. Which teats are you grabbing?
What?
Which?
Jeez, 10 and 2, dude. This is a trap. It's 10 and 2. Which teats am I grabbing? I'm starting with the front teats.
And how many of them are you grabbing?
Many as I can, baby. No, I'm grabbing two at the same time and milking them on alternating patterns.
Russell, breakfast, okay. You make me wish I had three hands.
Justin does great work. It's starting, the milk is starting to come out, but it's only a quarter of the way filling the bucket. So we need more milk. Griffin, what do you do?
Go get three more cows.
There are no more cows on the farm.
It's only Russell breakfast.
The next two udders, right?
Maybe we give it cheats. A little. Maybe we give it a little break.
Okay, you're gonna chill out on the milking.
I don't want it to like. I mean, have we gotten all the teats?
I think no. I think we go. We move to the next.
Next
two.
Teats, baby. Next teats.
Okay, you're moving to the next teats, and you start milking.
Yes.
Okay. Plant. You are. Are you milking as well in this period?
I mean, we're going one at a time. It's not three men milking one breakfast.
Okay. It's not. So what are you doing during this period? The bucket is now half full. We are very, very close.
I move to the final like set of teats, and then I...
Okay,
I
and you start milking.
How many teats
does it have? Cow?
Let's just... No, wait. Stop. Nobody say anything. I'm going to count to three, and then after I say three, everyone is going to say how many teats they think that a cow has. Ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Eight.
Four.
Eight?
You know it's not right. There's some part of you that knows eight's not right.
No, it has to be eight because Fresh said that we got a quarter of the way off two.
Oh, my God. Do you understand that, like, it's... Okay, I guess not. Do you understand that the milk is not coming from the teats themselves? There's, like, a container above where the milk comes from.
This is great. If Griffin and I continue to do this, we will win. Just let us all Plant has to do is take an inaction.
Yeah.
To complete this
Chris,
adventure, Plant has to stand idly by and nod and say, yeah, that's good milk,
okay, okay, my turn. I don't even know if I'm alive at this point, but with what energy I have left, I cheer on my friends.
Thank you.
Okay, Justin and Griffin both get a morale boost. The bucket is now half full.
No, it was already half full. You already said that.
What, you guys have been still milking that whole time?
I'm still milking.
Okay, so when do you stop? This is a crucial question.
Oh, shit.
When do you stop?
When the cow gets mad, right?
Before the cow get mad.
Here's when I stop. Mm. I stop when the bucket is like 3/4 full just because it'll keep leaking out there and I want to catch all the dribbles.
Okay.
I'm going to say this is a trick question. I stop when the cow empty. When the cow empty, there's no point in continuing this exercise because I don't want the... guys... I don't want the other juices in this cow. I want one specific juice. And when it runs out, my transaction with the cow has completed.
Griffin is correct. You stop when the cow empty, and you have found yourself with a full bucket of cow milk. Congratulations.
Yay.
Chris Plant, unfortunately, you died in the process, but both of you, congratulations.
Hey,
Worth it. I love milk.
You can't make a cow milk bucket without breaking a few plants.
And that's the lesson. Video games teach you things.
Sure, sure. I think actually in this scenario, Dungeons and Dragons taught us a lot more about milking a cow, but the exercise stands. Well done, Russ. Thank you for not inventing a character for that segment.
My pleasure.
We asked you, the people, for your favorite farming game memories. I enjoyed this one. My little brother has been obsessed with farming games for a long time. I'm more of an RPG person myself, but my mom knows nothing about video games. When she asked what he wanted for his birthday, and I said Farming Simulator 15, she refused to believe it was real. Him and I went as far as to show her playthroughs, and she thought it was all an elaborate prank. Who would want to farm in a video game? Aren't video games supposed to be fun? She said. I still think she believes we lied to her. That's a cool mom who I'm way on board with.
Absolutely.
Yes,
well done,
should
Mom.
Be fun.
Yeah, God, we didn't even touch on Farming Simulator, huh?
No.
I can't,
I've never played it.
I think the only thing I can think of is that Skrillex Farming Simulator mashup video, Bangarang, that was so hot in like fucking 2011 when it first came out, back when memes were just getting started.
This is a tweet from Alexander St. Pierre. Recently, my wife has been hooked on Stardew Valley. Sorry, Justin. The sheer number of hours we've both poured into the game now has honestly pushed us to getting another Switch for the household so we can enjoy playing it together. Also, the new Animal Crossing. We actually got a number of replies like that, that farming simulators were games that introduced people to video games.
It's so funny for Wonderful, the show Rachel and I do, we're doing like an Animal Crossing episode, and so I gave her one of my old 3DSs and hooked her up with it so she could, and she does not play video games, and she has played that game every single day for hours a day for like the last 45 days. Like it has gotten her hooked up. And I know so many people like that who, like, Stardew Valley is the only video game that they play, which I think speaks to like what a unique sort of slot it fills in the whole gaming space.
Yeah, it seems to be one that if it hooks you, it deeply, deeply, deeply hooks you. This one's from Shell. Said, Harvest Moon on Wonderful Life was one of the first video games I owned that was mine, not my siblings, and I lost a whole summer to it as a child. It's amazing because that game is like pulling teeth. It does not feel good to play it, for a lot of reasons, but I was still content to sink over 8 hours a day into it sometimes, and I feel like it says a lot about the game's ability to make you feel like it's important. Cut to May 2016. It's the week after I graduated college. There's stuff I need to do in town, so I'm the last one left in an empty house waiting out the lease. I've just broken up with my significant other. The town is totally empty. I sleep on a bare mattress. Stardew Valley exists. It takes everything I was weirdly obsessed with in Harvest Moon and makes it an actual playable game, which is delightful and feels good. I have a hard time explaining to people how this was simultaneously one of the best and worst weeks of my life. Every day I would live off leftover pizza and pink wine from Walgreens while farming continuously from wake to sleep. The catharsis was necessary. I still adore this game.
And that is something kind of interesting, the like big difference between Animal Crossing and Stardew is the nature that you can grind the hell out of Stardew.
Right.
You can play for 19 hours a day if you want to. And that's not possible unless you time skip, but it's generally not possible in Animal Crossing games. It forces you to only play for an hour or two a day, which I think is part of the reason why casual people get into it, is because you can just like slot it into your daily routine and it doesn't become like a total time suck. But then again, people play a ton of Stardew too. So.
Yeah, but yeah, it's easy to, I remember spending, you know, hours long sessions trying to like build my like completely insane ancient fruit wine vineyard that took like, you know, 30 hours of in-game time to put together because I wanted to be a billionaire because I'm broken inside.
Yeah.
Y'all, next week.
Yes.
It is going to be a potpourri of video game fun. We do not have one game. Each of us is going to bring something that we have been enjoying that we already skipped during the past few months. Why are we doing this? Because Doom and Animal Crossing still aren't out yet. Hey, these games are good. I don't want to undercut it. We're bringing some very good games.
I'm stoked about my game. More importantly, Juice and I are about to go out of town for a while. So we're stockpiling a little bit, which is a little unfortunate because next week I actually think is when we start to get the first sprinkles of the game storm that's a-coming with Neo and Ori, but we'll have to find time to talk about those a bit later on.
We will slot them in, I promise.
We will.
But it is kind of a throwback to like old format besties just for 1 week, which is kind of fun for longtime listeners. So enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Drink it in. Also, you can say a big thank you to Spotify for bringing this show back. And I'm assuming you already did in a sense because you were kind enough to follow and listen for free on Spotify. If you would be so kind as to tell the world that you're listening to and enjoying this show so Spotify keeps letting us make it, that would be just sublime of you. We really appreciate it. You can also email us if you want to. This wouldn't be an email specific to next week's show because we're about to record it, but you can email us at mail@besties.fan.
You can also follow us on Twitter at the Besties Pod, and the top pinned tweet will tell you how to join our newsletter. That is the first place you'll learn about new episodes and topics for future episodes and potential merch, like a t-shirt that says, "Yes, Russ, breakfast is milkable."
We should come up with a name for that. It's like the best of the besties or the cream of the Russ. Either way. from that mailing list. That's going to do it for us. So be sure to join us again next week for the besties, because should the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Is a Spotify original podcast in association with Vox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter, and our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!